starter's hands.
Are you ready to go? GNCC Racing!
Hey everyone, welcome to the Fly Racing RideX 365 podcast presented by ERX Motor Park. Second show of the season. We're coming to you this week from Woody's Racing in Princeton, Minnesota, kind of switching things up at a new race shop. This crew's got it going on pretty well. We've got all the we got Ryan Duncan, mechanic, and all the riders in. We're going to talk a little bit about how their program's progressed. But even more importantly at this point, we have former co-host, longtime co-host, the infamous and lately rarely seen gear grinder, Levi Entrud. What's going on, buddy?
Not much. You know, I got a new job in the winter, just working for Speedworks with, doing a lot of the mountain stuff. And I was just out west in Cook City testing before those guys were out there racing for the snowcross and not too much else. It's kind of been nice to watch the races from home, actually. I went to Duluth, I guess. I was there on Friday and half a Saturday, and then I went home. That's about as much as I wanted to be there. So
I saw you briefly at Duluth, and you have been watching at home. What's your impressions of how things are unfolding so far?
Cat domination.
Right.
I mean, it's
which these guys have no problem with.
Yeah. Which obviously is pretty apparent. I mean, it's just like the 2003 all over again with the Rev. I mean, it's that much better than the other guys' stock, and at least it appears, and the results are showing all the way down through the classes. So
yeah, and they've got a lot of numbers this year in all the classes too, so that doesn't help or hurt their cause at all either. But hey, before we get rolling too much, I want to just mention sponsors on the show, obviously Fly Racing and ERX, but we've got a bunch of people who've been behind, you know, the podcast and the rest of the things we're doing. AMSOIL, Studboy is the presenter of all of our ISOC coverage, which we'll talk a lot about tonight. CNA Pro Skis, they're going to be behind ECS coverage, East Coast Snowcross Tour, which they don't kick off till after the first of the year, but we'll be getting into a bunch of that. Fox Shocks, who, again, these guys are all familiar with. Fox had a pretty nice weekend in Jackson. Brothers Motorsports, they're a dealer out of our hometown in Brainerd, Minnesota. They've been behind all of our District 23 off-road coverage in the summer, you know, spring, summer, and fall. So thanks to those guys. And then I want to mention some new sponsors. This is a little bit related to the off-road series we've started that we're going to do starting in the spring, the Border Battle Cross Country Challenge. But Custom Outfitters, they just signed on as a presenting sponsor of the whole series. They're in Brandon, South Dakota, and they are a dealer for ATC trailers, and they also do a lot of customization, like outfit them for moto and for racing and such. So thanks to those guys. Enduro Engineering, again, big supporter of a lot of our off-road coverage. And then also a new one, X-Brand Goggles. So thanks to X-Brand for coming on. And all of our sponsors, man, we don't really charge for any of our content, so it's all sponsor-driven, and we appreciate that. And just ask that you guys, when you need stuff, new stuff, whether it's, you know, oil, additives, parts, pieces, whatever, if you support our sponsors, that goes a long ways into allowing us to do more and bigger and better. So, yeah, thanks to all those guys. And yeah, let's get into it, man. So let's just reflect a little bit. Duluth we talked about, but Jackson, you were able to watch?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of nice to be able to get home and watch all those races as much as they have live on the internet there. Streaming is kind of poor sometimes, but it's cool to watch and see a lot of things that I never got to see. So it's kind of seeing it from a different opinion, I guess.
Well, in the past with the podcast, we've always talked that we're so ingrained in the sport, and you get to see some of the things that the average fan never even sees and is not an issue that we make big issues out of. Do you get to now kind of enjoy it a little bit more from just in the easy chair?
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's cool. I'm texting a lot of guys, you know, like, not that I have any input. It's more or less kind of just having fun and stuff like that. So, like, you know, get to talk to Johan here and there, and kind of just, I don't know, it's just different. You know, it's, I don't know how to put my finger on it now, just like taking a step back from it, but I have just so many friends around it. That's cool to see all those people doing well. Like, his, you know, Johan's story is a good one, and, you know, seeing Peter and Cody and Tim and Lincoln. And,
right, guys, you know, you've worked with a lot.
It's,
and,
it's, yeah. you know, it's super cool to still watch those guys. So,
well, let's jump right into it with Johan. So Johan Lidman, man, welcome to the show.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
So I distinctly remember getting to know Johan on a long car trip with you, Levi, and Johan from, I believe, from X Games up to Deadwood.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah, so, remember that.
Yeah, and then we did some work together when you first came over. We were just telling Nisi, we used to practice podium speeches and work on English. Now you're just like part of the crew here. But, dude, you're really good to have you back.
Thanks.
I think you've landed with a good program here at a good time. And, man, you were kind of the story of Jackson Hole there for a bit.
Yeah, dude, it feels good to be back here. Just back general, be racing here in the States again after... What was it? 3 years?
3 years off.
3 years gone. And I raced back home last year. So I was basically 2 years I had off the snowmobile. And to be healthy and racing again is just a blast and a blessing to me.
Well, and let's talk about how that all...
Let's see your knee. Can we see it?
Sure. I'll show you. I'll show you it later. Right. I'll pull my pants down.
Well, geez, Ryan's not even wearing pants. Yeah, so the unfortunate circumstance was you were racing with Warner Racing on Ski-Doo, and yep. Ryan was on your team at the time, and you had just sort of started hitting your peak in ISOC. You'd been here for, what, 3 years?
Yep, exactly.
Just came over with Carlson Motorsports, and you had moved into the pro class. Were just hitting your peak. You had a couple podiums. Was it the year before or that same year?
Oh, the same year.
Same year,
same
right?
Year. No, I had three podiums and, like, eight top fives. So
you weren't off out of the top five.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it was a great year, and we just found our speed, and we were pretty confident, and I was confident. I was shooting for the win. Yeah. I'm not gonna lie. Like I knew that was coming, and unfortunately, I just hole shot at a heat race in Fargo, and the first heat race of the night. Second lap, and I just jumped too far into the corner and smashed my knee into the. Clutch guard.
So that's when Fargo was later in the year. That's why you'd kind of built up to that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you had podiums in what, New York or?
It was Canterbury and then both days in Michigan.
Michigan, that's right. Yeah. So, yeah, you end up with you shatter your kneecap.
Shatter my kneecap, yep. And I got sent home to have surgery. 5 months later, up on my dirt bike again, trying to get ready for the year. And just tipped over in the corner and caught my leg and ripped that stuff open again. So pretty bad. Fixed it up again. 8 months later in the spring, just a really, really stupid thing. I jumped off my snowmobile down in the snow, and I knew my knee wasn't good. Like something was wrong. I could tell, and I had surgery to get the hardware out. And I just jumped down in the snow, and I just felt the knee.
Right away, yeah.
Just right away, just... broke again. So
at that point, were you starting to think, man, I'm never gonna race again?
Dude, that day I was crushed. Like Emil Oman was with me, and he gave me a ride down to the closest city and meet up with the ambulance. And I remember just crying the whole way, just talking to him, telling him my career was over. And he was trying to encourage me, like, no, dude, this is gonna be fine. Like, you're gonna be back, don't worry about it, just focus on this now to get better. And let's see what's wrong with your knee first. But I was sure it was broke. You know, yeah. I knew it. And no, it was tough. I was pretty low.
So you get a good ride in Sweden though last year. Is it Octane? Is that
I rode for BRP Lynx and Octane.
Octane.
Yeah.
And you had a good year. I don't know that you won a lot of races, but you were in the mix quite a bit, right?
Yeah, I was a top three, solid top three guy. I didn't win any races, but I won some heat races and stuff like that, but wasn't able to win any big races. But I mean, that was fine for me. I was back. I had been gone for 2 years. I just tried to build momentum
to get through a whole year.
Yeah, right? And be consistent and get through the whole year, and that's exactly what I did. So I'm happy that it led to this. I'm really happy where I'm at.
Yeah. So you come over with Woody's this year. Duluth, you had some good heat races. I mean, you had speed. I know I distinctly remember the one race. It took Tucker until the last lap to get by you, I think.
Yeah, it was really tight. That was a cool race.
I found something out on that race, too. I thought you had him. Like, I had a photo finish of that, actually. But the scoring loop is at the bottom of the hill.
Oh, really?
Yep.
And it was bottom of the jump.
Yeah.
And it's at a bit of an angle. So I mean,
you and guys, that's that he would maybe he was
he in got front you
of
there,
right
yeah,
there, and maybe I caught him in the face of the jump or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, but it was close. It was
look weird. Yeah, because my mom texted me and said, "What was that's weird?" Because it says that you are the number one. Like Race Monitor said that I was the number one. Yeah. So I don't know. It's doesn't matter now, but it was a good race for sure.
Yeah, because I, as the flagman, we were looking at the photo. I'm like, man, I think he's got him by a ski loop here, you know. And then somebody else pointed out, well, the scoring wire is at the bottom, and it was kind of at an angle. So anyway,
sure.
But yeah, so you look good there, had a lot of speed, just not quite as consistent. But then last weekend, Jackson Hole, you rip a start in the Friday night final, and you lead that thing for 17 laps.
That was such a cool feeling. You know, that was I was just smiling in my helmet, trying to hold on and smiling, I guess. So just did my best to sprint and get away from the pack. And I'm not gonna lie, I tightened up and I fell back to fourth, and unfortunate, but I feel like a win is possible for me. Yeah. And that's what I'm shooting for. I mean, we had like 5-6 days on the sled before Duluth, so we came in underprepared for sure. I mean, I wanted more than that, but we don't have much time before the first race, and then we had a few more days after second race, so we came into Jackson more comfortable than we were in Duluth, obviously. But
yeah, I mean, too, it's just coming back, you probably don't even know where you stand with these guys. And
exactly, like no they're so like, fast, and yeah. All the guys I raced back home are fast too, but at the same time, it's a different level up out here. So it's just something to get used to too. Everybody's racing hard from lap one, so you have to get out there and get a good start and just sprint, I guess.
And then you kind of back it up on Saturday night. I had written that Tucker pulled a nasty hole shot, but Ryan pointed out to me that you actually led up the top of the hill. So you get a good start.
You were in second or something first.
Yeah, well,
and then it kind of—I don't know—somebody made a mistake on the bottom.
Yeah, I kind of struggled on the first or second lap on the downhill. I swapped pretty bad, so I kind of—I think I lost some positions there, and then I was, you know, I wanted to make it to the finish too. I'm not gonna lie, it was a crazy weekend, and I just wanted to be safe and be able to have this Christmas break too to be healthy and work on things. So just rode smart and got home with a fifth on Saturday. So I think it's pretty good.
So you got to be pretty excited going into, like you say, you got a little bit of a break now. Are you going to stay here the whole time?
Yep, staying here in the States, just practicing and trying to stay fresh. You know, it's a long ways home, and you get pretty beat up to go there back and forth.
Yeah, no, I was surprised. I called a couple other guys today to see if they wanted to stop by, and man, half the people I called, or more than half the people I called, have already like gone on vacation or went. You know, Aki went back to Finland. I mean, it's like, geez, we're just hitting prime time now. It's kind of
yeah, I know, and Levi knows this too. Like, I went back home 2012 and 13, you know, over Christmas, and I remember you didn't like that, and I wasn't really realizing that. Like at the time, you know, I was 21, 22 years old, and just I want to go home. I want to see my family, but at the same time, we work 5 months a year, and
such a small window that
it
this
is.
Racing is, and in the whole reality, it's like. Really, you're only about 3-4 weeks into it right now, even though prior to the season, you know, the building of the sleds and, you know, people in the shop and all that stuff going on. But now it's so tough. Like, you leave right now. Literally, there's a whole other week next week,
mm-hmm.
a few days off, and you can get right back into it. Whereas, you know, if you do go home, you're missing out on a huge opportunity just to stay here, and
exactly.
Flying sucks.
It does, yeah, and the risk of getting sick and everything is just, your jet lag is it's tough on you. So yeah, happy to stay here and just spend as much time as I can on the sled and in the gym and just keep plugging away.
Well, hey man, I was really happy to see that. I know, Levi, you had to be smiling at home. Having worked,
I thought he was gonna win on Friday night, man. I was like, oh, he's gonna do it. I'm gonna watch Johan cry on the podium for sure, because you know, I know what he's gone through, and you know, it's a good deal. I mean, it's good to see him back up front. I mean, I'm sure everybody's smiling for him back there in the States, or in the Sweden too. So
yeah, and I have to say, it didn't look like you really got tired. It was more that, like you say, you got tight. I mean, you had
that's part of being tired.
Yeah, but I mean,
well, tight.
The pressure was definitely. When
you had a pretty 5-second lead.
When you're out there for 17 laps, you know there's a number 68 and a number 1 and an 11 coming sooner or later, right?
I just saw Ryan on my left side when I came around that bottom corner. He's just showing me that I had a gap, and I was like, I don't want to see that. I just want to ride. yeah, he shrunk, yeah. And then he's like waving me on. I'm like, I don't have any more.
Yeah,
intake.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm doing my best.
Well, no, again, really cool to see. Glad we're able to get together tonight, and I'm looking forward to, you know, watching what happens for the rest of the season. So
yeah, thanks, man.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, bud.
Thanks.
All right. Hey, Ryan Duncan. So yeah, Levi and Johan, kind of going over the weekend. What you got to be happy with the whole team and where things are at with you know, getting back together with Johan and just seeing those results.
Yeah, it went pretty well, you know, and just to back up with Johan a little bit there, you know, when he left Warnert's, you know, it just sucked because we were just tapping into his potential. You know, we knew we could go a little more. And I think I pretty much kept in touch with him 3-4 times every year and just kind of see how he was going. And, you know, it was up and down. And then last year I started paying attention to what he was doing at home there. And I'm like, you know, if you can get it together and, you know, get some good finishes, we'll see what we can do to try to get you over here. And then the opportunity.
Well, we had some covert conversations.
Yeah, right? You knew what was going on. You knew what I was up to. And I think I'd mentioned something to Levi, too. We talked a little bit. You know, it's no secret. I knew he had it. You know, I can't believe, you know, nobody else snatched him up or was paying attention. But kind of thought I was doing something smart and sneaky getting him over here. So I think it was a good decision. And I think we can get him back to where we got to be.
Yeah, no, again, it's cool to see. And you got the sleds ripping, right? 2 hole shots?
Yeah, you know, RDCAT made it pretty easy this year, and Speedworks throws some good tools in the toolbox for me to work with. So it's just put in what you think you need and go from there.
Well, let me ask you about the sled, and Levi, if you have questions about this too, because you kind of know from, you know, behind the scenes and mechanical side. So the cats, obviously a lot of changes, weight reduction, the front end, things that you don't see, but big changes. But the motor, last year, it's no secret. Everybody struggled with the injection, and it was, you know, it was good at times, but it seemed like it was hard to fine-tune. I had quite a conversation with Mike Letty in Jackson, and new cylinder, new reed.
Yeah, reed new reeds. Design. I mean, yeah. It's basically an all-new.
And is it a lot of it just having the time to work on fuel mapping and...
That's the most part of it, the little cylinder work, and it really made a huge difference. The weight savings and the long track is huge.
Yeah, but the motor, with that injection, there's like no question now. It's good.
Yeah, it works. It works real well.
I think he said the one area they haven't really got a lot of data yet is like, you know, zero or real cold temps, but...
Yeah, we're going to try to... They're going to address that a little more. I believe Levi might have heard, too, with being at Speedworks. I think they're going to be doing some more testing here and try to improve on it.
I don't know. I saw Steve Monday morning, and he came back in the shop and kind of was smiling, so...
I'm sure he is.
There's about four things in life he smiles for, so...
Yeah.
And that's typically one of them.
So. Winning is usually one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're going to be doing some more testing and try to... I think there's still some more good gains, more gains to be made.
Yeah, so no, that thing is definitely a rocket, and it was just amazing. Even Friday night after Logan and Cody had gotten by, it was like Cody would catch Logan a little bit coming into the bottom, but the cat was just a rocket going up
out
the hill.
Out of the corner, yeah. Pulling up the hill. It's got some drive in it.
Yeah, no, it was... pretty obvious they're watching that thing. So, well, we got the rest of your team in here too, starting with Nacy Shellstrom. Talk a little bit about how his involvement came to be and what's going on this year with.
Yeah, it was you know, kind of the same type situation. You know, we were watching Johan over there, seeing how he was doing, and then we were looking at some pro lights too. And open classes you were racing over there also, or he was racing over there, and just keeping an eye on him too. And he had some really good lap times and. Definitely worth taking a look at, and we just talked to some people over there and heard some real good things about him, so figured we might as well try to bring him over and see what he can do there. And he's really got some speed, definitely good fundamentals and everything. It's just sometimes, you know, stay on, be safe. He's had a couple little offs, but he's had some good heat races, and I think he's going to find another gear here, and I think they're going to see some good things out of him.
Well, yeah, so let's welcome on right now Nacy Shellstrom. Hey, Nacy.
Hey.
How's it going?
It's going pretty good. How are you?
I'm good, man. Thank you. So, yeah, let's talk a little bit about how you came over with the team, your experience in Sweden. So you were telling me that you raced the Snowcross or the Stadium Cross series and the National series. Talk a little bit about your results last year.
Last season was a good season. I won the Stadium Cross race, the Swedish Championship. But it's not a series, it's just one race.
Okay.
And then I made it to a second in the Nationals. I think it's 6 race or something.
And you were riding an Arctic Cat in Sweden, correct?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So what growing up in Sweden and watching, tell me about how much a guy like yourself watches the ISOC series or the North American National Series. I've talked to Johan about this before, and like Adam Renheim, but tell me about your view of racing here.
I mean, it have always been a dream for me to start race here in the USA and race the ISOC series. So this is a big opportunity for me, and I'm really happy about it.
And so what are some of the things that you found to be a lot different here with the racing or the living situation?
Food?
Yeah, the food is pretty different. I think I like the Swedish food more, actually. The racing is a lot different. It's the track is shorter and much rougher and tougher. But it's fun. I have a lot to learn, and
I know one thing you said has been a challenge is your races in Sweden were longer, so you had to have more strategy and pacing yourself, whereas here everything is right from the green flag. You have to go right now.
Yeah, exactly. I know that I need more aggressivity in my riding to make it up to the top. But I think we will get there with more seat time and more riding and more experience.
Now you said you're from Söderholm?
Yeah, Söderholm. It's the middle of Sweden.
And so Johan from Pita is farther north. Did you know Johan at all from...
Yeah, we know each other pretty well because we have raced to each other a little bit. So,
and I imagine that's been helpful.
Jämtland.
Coming here and being able to live with someone who speaks the same language and has been here for several years. Has he helped you with some of the transition moving here?
Yeah, absolutely. Johan, he helps me a lot. So,
Johan, is that how we should say
it? It feels safe to have him here.
Well, hang on a second. What's that? Oh, so you brought your mechanic with you also, huh?
I have a mechanic here from Sweden, too, and his name is also Johan. We call him Deuce here.
I should call him you, too.
But Johan Lidman here is helping me a lot here, so that feels safe.
And I think...
Eriksson, though, your mechanic, has raced here years ago.
Yeah, he's a pretty good racer in his own
right. Yeah, a world champion in his own right, too. I mean,
yeah, he has a lot of experience, so he's helping me a lot, too, so... It feels really good for me. I feel comfortable here with them, so that's good.
So you were on the podium in Jackson Hole on the first night, on Friday night?
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about, I mean, what were your goals coming here? What did you want to accomplish this year? Did you know?
I don't know. I mean, it's my first season here, and every rider is super fast here, so I have a lot to learn, and I just want to have fun, work hard, and do some good results. Work hard and have fun.
Okay, well, man, so far it looks like it's going great, and just you build on the consistency, and I'm sure we're going to see you on the podium again here.
Yeah, I hope so.
Okay, well, hey, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Yeah, nice to have met you.
Thanks.
All right, hey, with that... we're about 20 minutes into this deal. Let's take a quick sponsor break, and when we come back, we'll hear from Jeremy Meyer, the Director of Business Development at ERX Motor Park, and we'll talk a little bit about what's been going on there. I know we've got Winter X Games, Snowbike Qualifier just took place, and the Thursday Night Series is in full swing right now, so we'll check in with Jeremy on that, and then we'll get back into it here at Woody's Racing.
Hey, what's up, Ride X365 fans? Colton Moore here, and this is a non-commercial where Fly Racing tells you how they make cool products and sponsor awesome athletes. I've been with Fly Racing for years now. Not only do they keep me safe and protected, but they have some of the sickest gear you can get. I've went down several times, and their gear alone keeps me safe. And also being out on the track, being out riding freestyle, I have people ask me where I get my gear, and I just tell them Fly Racing, go check it out.
Weekends are precious, which is why you use AMSOIL synthetic motor oils to protect the toys that make your weekends so great. You can also give your weekday vehicle that same protection. AMSOIL Signature Series motor oils deliver 75% more wear protection than required by a leading industry standard, giving you above and beyond protection 7 days a week. See the proof and order for direct-to-your-door delivery at AMSOILProtects.com.
Hey everybody, time now for the ERX Pit Stop. We're checking in with Jeremy Meyer, the Director of Business Development at ERX Motor Park. And Jeremy, things are full swing at ERX. I know you had a snow bike X Games qualifier. You've got Thursday grassroots going on, but you got a really big announcement in the works that we're maybe going to break on the show here tonight.
It's Christmas season, holiday season, and we're all busy with family, and we got some events next week. But ERX is proud to announce that we're going to have the ERX Eliminator come February 2nd. It's going to be an unbelievable event. It's going to be pro and pro lights. We're inviting all the top ISOC guys to go head-to-head. It's similar to the Dominator that they hold in Duluth on Friday night, but this is double elimination. There's going to be qualifying rounds, and you'll have chances to win money if you're a pro rider all the way back. So overall, it's part of our 10-year anniversary celebration. The ERX is now in its 10th year, and we started with snowmobile racing. We started with a passion as a way to get families and new people involved in the sport. And so we're going to have a three-day celebration. We're going to have a regional event on the 1st, and then ERX Eliminator on the 2nd on Friday night with, you know, VIP and a bunch of cool events. Some vintage sleds will be on display and autograph sessions, and we're working on a band right now. So and then Friday or on Saturday we're gonna open the park up, and we'll be doing demo rides all day. So it's going to be a nice three-day end of the week, I guess, there to start February off and celebrate our 10-year anniversary. Just one of many events we're going to do all year.
Well, I know for the last several years, the snowcross community has sort of gotten over the fact or grown a little weary of what's transpired at the Winter X Games. And the talk was always like, man, wouldn't it be cool if we could do something during that weekend or in place of that weekend at ERX? And it's kind of finally coming to fruition. This is something you guys have worked on for a few years, and you're finally able to kind of put it in place, right?
Yeah, you know, we had the Red Bull Snow Boundaries in 2016, and that was, you know, one of the best events that snowmobiling's ever seen, at least snowmobile racing's ever seen. And we're trying to work to replicate that, and we're gonna continue to work to bring that type of racing back. But there was a big hole in the schedule this year with snowcross, no X Games, and you know the Nationals were kind of spread out. So we kind of sat down and said, how can we fill the void? How can we have some fun? Separate from a national, but you know, still get big names and just kind of have some fun in the middle of winter. So we came up with this idea, the ERX Eliminator, and you know, we expect 30 plus pro and pro light guys out there for that event. But you know, we're working with ISOC on some things. You know, we'll do their rules package. We'll do we'll have ERX Live presented by Country Cat. We'll have we'll have the same tech, we'll have the same time in scoring. So, I mean, it'll be a legitimate race for the pros, but at the end of the day, it's just a great opportunity to continue to promote the sport, celebrate our 10 years, and just get more people out to the track.
Well, so I know that this is just sort of breaking now. You've got a press release coming out, but you did have a discussion with the manufacturers and the teams over the last couple of weeks, and I know everybody I talked to is pretty fired up about it for a couple of reasons. One, it's just as far as the race itself, it's a one-day deal. So you get in, you get out, but lots of racing, lots of excitement, big money. Talk a little bit about how that one-day format's going to work. It's a one-day head-to-head, but there's multiple chances for guys to get back into that big money round.
Exactly. So, you know, right now we're gonna have a practice session for everybody, and that's what they do for the Dominator. You practice and you qualify all within the same sessions, and then that's how you get into the show. That's how the top 16 right now get into Dominator. For us, we're going to take the top 12 out of qualifying, and then after that, we're going to have two heat races, and then the top two in each of those heat races are going to transfer in and finish off the 16. So there's your double elimination right away. You have your practice qualifier, then you actually have a heat race that you can qualify into. And if you actually win one of the heat races, you have a chance to win money, right? So already you can be not even in the final and already up on some cash. So then we have 16, and it's double elimination. So if you lose in the first round or second round or third round or whatever, you go down into the consolation bracket, and you need to get a chance to work your way back up into the final. So, but we'll have a straight podium. We'll have first, second, and third. So there'll be a third and fourth place race for prize money. And we also, you know, if you're a pro light and you're not a one of the top three guys, you're gonna have a chance to win $2,500 too. So, you know, it's a $20,000 purse overall, $10,000 to the winner, and then a number of different ways that you guys can win some cash.
So $2,500 to the top, the highest finishing pro light, was that?
The highest finishing pro light, unless he's on the box. So.
Okay, cool. So yeah. all part of a big 3-day end of the week deal going on there. You mentioned Speed Shift TV. You've got your own sort of ERX live stream going on there with Haley from Speed Shift. That I heard went over really well with your first Thursday night program. So what does that encompass? That's basically a live stream for this whole event.
Yep, so we took the initiative this year to live stream all of our Thursday night grassroots racing from ERX. So last week was the first race. Next Thursday, we have our second round of grassroots racing. It's seven total shows, the six rounds of grassroots plus our snow oval. And then we're also going to have ERX live for the ERX Eliminaire event. But yeah, the first event was unbelievable. The group, Haley and her group at Speed Shift, did a wonderful job, and you know, we had a bunch of great feedback. We had, the numbers were spectacular, and it's just an issue we did to help promote the sport, and you know, give our sponsors and give our athletes that are out there just another voice out in the wide world, the world wide web.
All right, perfect, man. So live streaming, of course, spectator seating. People are encouraged to come out. It's going to be a big event. So it's the first 3 days of February, the first, second, and third, yep. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Friday night's the race night. So do you have anything on the website yet if people want to go on and start looking at tickets, or that's coming?
We'll have it up. We'll have something up over the weekend here. So
okay. So yeah, by the time people are hearing this, it's probably going to be up there. But yeah, check out DRXMotorpark.com, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
I should know that, but yeah, well, cool. Yeah, big news. Glad to hear it. Lots of things going on there. I saw you also got a cross-country race coming up. So again, people check out the website for different things happening at ERX over the winter. And yeah, thanks, Jeremy.
Hey, thanks, Gary. Thanks, guys.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Thanks for joining us on the Fly Racing RideX 365 podcast presented by ERX Motor Park. So, Levi, we started touching on racing throughout the year a little bit, but didn't get into it too much. What some more observations? I mean, interesting talking to these guys. And
yeah, I mean, it's interesting to watch. You know, Ski-Doo, obviously, they have a new sled and chassis and motor and everything this year, so... you know, to be honest with you, at Duluth, I thought, you know, as far as fuel injection and things go like that, like, wow, I was surprised. Like, they did really well, like, better than I thought.
Yeah.
Like, I thought there'd be a lot more bugs with the sled. And, you know, nothing really showed too much, like, at Duluth, I didn't think, because, you know, other than, I don't know, like, Renheim got on the podium on Sunday and the track was rough, but like he didn't qualify very well at all. And then, you know, he was able to be up front early, and then like kind of the same thing, everything kind of went away when they went to elevation out west. Is like everybody, I don't know, it's kind of showed the age of the Polaris a little bit. And
Lemieux was on the podium both days in Duluth though.
Yep.
So like
it was a mix of all three.
Right. Cam was on there. Two Skidoos on
Sunday, and I thought, wow, you know. And then, yeah, you know, they didn't do so hot, I don't think, as a whole out west.
Well, I think the biggest thing right now, and I don't know if it was elevation or just that uphill start or whatever, but they're struggling a little bit with starts.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty apparent. I mean,
and compared to the CAD, everybody is, right?
I mean, well, yeah. I mean, that's literally when you got five of them, I think, in the pro class or whatever they call it now. And all five of them are heading in the first corner first. It's pretty obvious that everybody's got to lose 25 to 30 pounds and get a longer track to be competitive with that, just for starters. And you know, I think the other thing it shows, I think, like, for all the years of racing that has gone on, it's kind of a shame on snowcross manufacturers not to take things that the teams were doing and implement them on next year's sled.
Well,
and it really shows now, because you know, all the teams are handicapped.
Right, they're all. If you're not on an Arctic Cat team, everybody from you know,
well, we don't want to make it,
but they're pulling their hair out. It's like, there's only so much we can do
right now. I mean, you watched, I know Cody, you know, Cody on a pro open sled against Tucker and Tim, everybody was more evenly matched. And now, you know, it's like, well, whoever gets the whole shot, everybody can run up front. And, you know, I'm not taking anything away from like Logan Christian or anything. He's only had a handful of podiums in his career so far. And now to go back to back, it shows how good that sled is compared to the rest of the field.
But he has been consistently back to back, and he's been fast in the heat races. So I won't take anything away from
him. No, I'm not.
There,
I mean, I it's nothing personal against him at all. I'm just saying the where their sled is compared to the Polaris or Ski-Doo, it's like having a mod sled.
Yeah.
And I think what really is handicapping the sport now is that we won't see any of those changes until next year. So they're stuck with what we have. And now any of the other manufacturers that need to do something, it needs to be on their own time. And then how do you prove that it's better? Because racing is our proof.
Well, and the other thing is a lot of those changes don't happen in 1 year either.
I mean, it's gotta be cost effective and make sense. You can't just do everything. And I think, who knows what's going to come? I've heard that there's a lot of meetings going on and stuff like that.
But. So here's what's interesting. I don't want to beat a dead horse on the pro open thing because I've already talked about how that.
You've already gotten your wings clipped a little bit.
regardless, so potential worst case scenario is one brand is a little better than the others, and the others are going to have to fight it all year without a lot of resources or a lot of options. But on the flip side, the other brands are now going to be forced to be more innovative next year. I mean,
oh, absolutely.
Tom Rager Jr. told me, he said, you know, that sometimes he said, you know, all credit to those guys. There's, you know, and he said, sometimes it just takes getting kicked in the face before you really realize how much you have to.
Oh, absolutely. Move, you know? I mean, I think that like this is a real shocker. Like nobody thought after seeing Articat's results last year that it would be this drastically different.
Right, and I don't want to make this like an all, you know, Articat parade or whatever, but
you are.
On one hand, it's good. It's good that they. It's good to see that they came back like this because they struggled more than anybody last year.
Yeah.
And how many times have we seen that? I can think of like three eras with Articat where they've come out with a sled, new sled, and really screwed the pooch for that whole season. And the next year, they were on top of the game. Yeah. Right? So it's cool to see that they do react that fast and that. You know, there's as corporate as the entire industry has become, there's still that group up there in Thief River that winning is more of a priority than anything, right?
Yeah, and I think, well, like I was saying earlier, you know, I think the tough thing is now is where we had resources that the manufacturers were putting into each team as far as money, that in what they were doing with that money to make the sleds better and whatever. Now what that information never got passed on to the production line, and I think that's right. A big mistake that, looking back, that all the manufacturers probably agree on as far as the racing side of it goes.
Were you surprised that when this rule was implemented, I mean, it didn't allow for a lot of change because it happened in the spring and sleds get built in the fall, right? But were you surprised that that Polaris and Ski-Doo went back to a 128 track?
No, here's the thing. I mean, you know, Tucker last year or 2 years ago or whatever he had it, you know, that started kind of the whole 120 or 136 or 137 discussion. And, you know, sometimes it really worked for him. And there's other times where we've seen him in practice debate between a 128 and one, you know, change it from practice one to practice two. You know, you saw Shearing's guy run it all last year. Everybody on a Ski-Doo ran it last year.
Longer track.
I think most of the time, Layton's, they ran it. I think Carlson's ran it. But I know being on Hench's team last year, we never even got around to trying it because, you know, we were having good enough results the way it was, and we really didn't want to change what was going on. You know, and our sleds are fast enough and competitive. We thought that sometimes there would be a disadvantage to switch to that. And there's a lot of work that goes into that. It's not just, you know, you don't just switch to a 136 from a 128 and you just don't put the same shocks in and go, oh, where was that?
And I think, you know, obviously Ski-Doo has a new, completely new chassis and platform this year, but with what they had prior to this and with the Polaris race sled being a, you know, an older platform, that longer longer track and suspension was maybe, you know, they didn't work together, right? It put a little more stress and fatigue on everything than what it was designed for?
Yeah, I mean, I can't say for everybody. I mean, it's weird to see, like, for instance, Ski-Doo last year, I think when they ran that sled, and Valcourt last year, the new race sled, I think it had a 136 in it, if I remember right, and I was surprised that it didn't come with that, I guess, right, to say the least, because all their Pro Open guys were on it, and then whatever data they found, you know, wasn't conclusive enough to change it. So
do you think there's more advantage in, like, with Cat having a little upper hand right now, it's more advantage in the track or the weight reduction or just the whole package?
I think it's the package together. I mean, everybody knows in racing it's not just one thing that makes your sled better or two things. It's a combination of things all together that make it better. Everybody tries so many different things. And let's say you tried 10, you're lucky if one works.
Right.
You know, so it's not just it's a whole combination of things. Obviously, they had a great platform with Tucker. You know, basically, I mean, anybody would be kidding themselves if that's not Tucker's race sled.
Right.
And what they made it for him to go racing, look at the advantage that it's helped everybody through that class.
And I think they had a lot of time on that sled in the spring, both Tucker and Logan.
Absolutely.
Where everybody else was waiting until,
you know,
production belts came out this fall to see what they had.
I mean, right? they had their word cut out for them because they won one on, as far as that fuel injection sled. I think Muller was the only one to win in New York on it. They didn't really have a lot of results on that sled, and, you know.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, good to see their homework paid off, and I think after the first of the year here, we've had, you know, two races to draw some data from and some, you know, overview, and then we'll have this testing time, get back to, you know, normal elevation, flat, traditional track that everybody's got. I think we'll see things bunch up again at Canterbury.
Oh, yeah, for sure, and I think that showed enough at Duluth as it was.
Yeah.
I think the elevation thing kind of skews it a little bit, but you know, I think the Polaris's will be a lot, you know, closer. I think the Ski-Doos, those guys have been going to work, obviously, probably since, you know, they've been coming
that,
home.
That drop-off downhill start at Canterbury, if we see that again, that might be a little bit more of a, put it back a little bit more in the rider's hands than the machine on the start. So, yeah, I don't think
we're going to... that too. And, obviously, I think it was kind of limited snow out west. I wasn't there. Just from what I saw in pictures and stuff, I was out there the week before in Cook City, and, you know, snow was good. But, you know, I know it's 6,000 feet, which I think that's what...
Yeah, 65, yeah.
Somewhere in there is where that place is. And I know everywhere doesn't really have much snow there. So,
yeah, it wasn't bad. That's one thing we didn't really talk specifically about that race. You know, there was a lot of questions coming into it with both... you know, local politics and snow conditions and, you know, new venue. Didn't know what we were in for. But, man, I think it came off better than expected.
Way better in Colorado on TV. I don't think that was tough to beat. But
I think it came off better than expected pretty much on every level. You know, the parking was a weird situation, and it's not ideally suited for it, but it worked out pretty cool. The rigs were all parked right on the city streets. So when you know, fans had to park off-site, and then when you walked up, you kind of walked right through a midway of trailers. It was close for all the pro and semi-pro team or pro-light teams. You could just, you know, cart your stuff over not too far.
I think the one thing that I just noticed about the track so far is, like, you know, being everybody's on the same sled, you don't see a lot of different, like, before when the pro open guys were out there, you saw, like, there would, you know, whether it be one thing on the track that the guys could do, like a triple or something a little bit more aggressive than you see now, and maybe that's only because it's the first couple races. But I think the tracks, you know, are always the first couple ones of the season are pretty weak sauce and compared to later in the year. And, you know, luckily this year I think it's going to be cold over the next few weeks here in Minneapolis, so Canterbury should be rocking. That's always a great venue.
Canterbury has some big, you know, sort of bigger, like last year that step down and or a triple that are definitely some decision makers, and will
right.
The cream will rise to the top there. I think it Jackson Hole on the ski hill courses, I don't always know that you see the elite guy do a jump or not. That, you know, they're kind of sketchy as it is.
I saw Yerk do something. I think it was after the first round on Saturday night in the heats. He did a triple down the hill, and he was like the only one to do it. And I was like, oh man, that's super fast.
Instant gap. Yeah.
Yeah. Huge gap. And he won that heat race pretty convincingly. But I think the one thing that's, you know, there again, you know, they either take it away or something changes. You know, the groomer's on the track nonstop at these races, which sucks, I think. And the other, thing that I think that's terrible is just like, they just don't give anybody any separation. Literally, their budget for the weekend and fuel for those groomers must be 50 grand. I mean, swear to God, those guys are out there on like Wednesday and they don't stop until Sunday when they're reloading the damn things up. And it's like, just like, there's a huge difference, especially I know watching it on, this is all I'm doing, so I have very little reference, but watching it from my iPad. But, you know, watching the tracks, huge change from Friday night to Saturday night. Friday night's always pretty mellow. Saturday night, they seem to let it go.
Well, I think two things. It depends on when the junior classes, which day they're running the most of those, they change it up. But also, I do like that they've kind of changed the track from one day to the next, just to mix it up a bit. And we should ask Yuan and Nissy Ryan about that too, is I thought this track held shape better all weekend. Like, it, you know, there was marginal snow, but it got cold at night. It was nice during the day. But do you think that the track held up pretty decent as far as, you know, I don't like when a downhill or a long straightaway just turns into pounding out whoops. I felt like it had rhythm to it.
Yeah, I agree. It felt like it held up pretty good.
Yeah.
I thought, yeah.
And I know this is your first year back in a while, Yuan, but what do you think about when they mix the track up a little bit the second day?
No, I like it. I think it's good to wake up to something else and just, you know, get a different rhythm section or just something. Yeah. I think it's good.
Makes practice interesting again anyway.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the thing is, like, sometimes you see in practices, and I know just from being a mechanic, things, you know, they let it get so rough for the practices, and that's kind of what you get set up for. And then you get out there in the first heat race of the night, they make the track all brand new again.
Well, I don't like when they change it a lot from practice to racing.
I agree with that. Like, always when we practice, it's beat up, like really, really bad. Yeah. So that's the first thing we come to is a beat up track. And then the first heat race is just perfectly timed you know, really
it's like follow
easy
the leader
track.
Everybody right now can go pretty close to the same speed. It's all coming down to who gets out front first.
You can't really search for a good line because every line is just as fast, basically.
And your heats always start right after opening ceremony, so they had a lot of time to go out and, maybe, you know, if they could leave it just to, you know, touch up any big holes or whatever, but kind of leave it a little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
so, again, I get that.
Their one announcer calls the racers, he calls them drivers and not riders. So.
Well, we're not going to go down that road.
I'm pretty sure that you ride a snowmobile or you drive a car.
Well, I will say from like having to write race reports that I always call guys riders, but I just made a reference to like Garth Kaufman's been helping Tucker, right? Now he's going back to racing rimshot of the hill climb, and I called him a driver because, like, I don't know, anyway. I agree with you, rider. You ride a motorcycle, you ride a snowmobile.
Ride a horse.
Yeah,
that whole game, I'm just, and I don't care. That whole game needs to step up. That is so terrible to watch. Like, I don't care. Like, I'm just saying, it's been great to like watch the races and stuff like that. But like, if you're a fan, like I'm watching it, and I know I watched that Yurt guy hit the triple, and they're watching the same thing I am. Maybe I'm wrong because I've never been a color commentator, and probably talking way out of bounds, which I don't care. And it's, they don't even see it. Yeah. And then the worst thing is they don't even know who the damn drivers are. Like, how, riders. I was using their terms.
Okay.
But
surely why?
My point being is, like, man, this is what you're getting paid to do. Like, I know the dudes out there riding. Like, come on.
Well, I'm going to stay away from that altogether, but a little bit on those lines. What do you think of having Colby Crapo do color commentary now?
Yeah, that's pretty good. I think I think it's, I know it's a tough job. You know, yeah. I know it's not easy to do. It just like doing this. I mean, it's not easy to be candid and be always super energetic.
It's easy to be candid. Like it's just.
Well, yeah, but I mean.
yeah. No, I like
not
Colby.
Not just that, but I mean, like, to be animated to the point of every race means something is a tough thing to do.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you hear, and it's, like I said, it's not an easy job. I know that, but man.
Yeah, no, I got you.
You hear like, a supercross race?
I like Colby, and I think he's going to be a good addition there.
I think so, too.
But, you know, there again, it's like.
And I like Mike, too.
He's a rider or a driver, as you would say, and he's stepping in doing this for the first time. So he told me, said, I got to, you know, just develop a little rapport with Mike. But he's a good, colorful guy, and I think that's going to be a really big addition. It's no longer in the starter's hands.
Yeah, no. yeah, that's for sure. But, I mean, our sport in all regard is still pretty young. And compared, and we always use the comparison to supercross and motocross, we're still pretty young.
And in regard to
what the show is now,
you're talking about watching live stream. I think it's awesome just being able to, you know, sit at home and watch it.
It's wicked.
And I think that
I'm sitting there and it's 70 degrees in my house. I'm sitting there, have snacks. I'm not, it's wicked. I love it.
Yeah. And I think their live stream numbers are pretty solid. So I've said this repeatedly. I'll say it again, but I run into people all the time who you wouldn't even think would watch a snowcross race are always asking me about the races because they were watching on live stream. Yeah. So, no, that's cool. Yeah. What else? Any other thoughts on the racing? I mean,
no, I think it's pretty cool to see, this sample size is too small right now, I think, in the season to make too many judgment calls. I think everybody, you know, some people got their puppies kicked a little bit after seeing, you know, after going out west or whatever. But I think that'll change. You know, guys are all working hard right now. The teams are all digging in. This is the biggest time of the year to get some gains. And I think it'll be a different turnout.
Well, and as our cohort, Robbie Malinowski, always says, Canterbury is when – you know, you really tells the tale, right? You got to have your poop in a group at that point and be going for, you're either in it or not at the, right. After that. And I think we'll see.
I think the tough thing this year too, that it's going to be, is there such a gap in the schedule. I mean, for the pro guys, they're so used to going from Canterbury and then whether it be testing for Deadwood and X Games and kind of stuff like that. That big gap in the schedule this year is going to be a little bit tricky, I think.
Yeah, that's a weird one. We've got a week between Canterbury and Deadwood, and then 3 weeks off before New York, I believe.
Right.
So that's a strange gap, and it's not really like it's a new gap in the ISOC schedule, because we've normally had X Games in there to fill in, or maybe just a 2 week split, and they're not three. But yeah, that'll be a little bit different, and then it'll be definitely be hammer time once we go to New York. Then they get to be back to back. But hey, let's continue on with some pro class review. Let's touch a little bit on what's going on in the pro women's ranks. We've got Taven Woody here. Taven, you jumped up into the pro women's class. What give me your impressions of the first year?
There are a lot of fast girls. It's fun to race with all the bigger women over from Norway, Sweden, and stuff like that, and up in Canada. It's a lot of competition, and it's super fun riding with older girls.
You know, that's one thing I didn't mention, like, that I impresses me each week now. It's been several years, you know, but I think more and more every year, especially this year, from pro up and down, is it really is an international series of champions, right? I mean, we've got probably as many, I mean, there's as many European riders, and when you take in the Canadian riders, it's almost a pretty equal split in some of the pro classes. So, yeah, you're racing with girls from, what, Sweden?
Sweden, Norway.
Norway, Canada.
Yeah. A bunch of places.
So
I noticed, too, like, that class, too, it's full. Like, there's a lot of women in that class.
Yeah, it's grown a lot the last couple of years. And and I'll give credit to your dad. He made a big effort and got behind sponsoring a junior women's class two years ago.
Yeah, the junior girls 9 to 13 class.
And that sort of fostered, it gives a place for younger girls to race at a higher level and creates a feeding program for the pro class.
Yeah, and then it also helps out so, like, the girls don't always have to ride with the guys, so it gives them a break, and so it's a lot more fun to just compete with girls instead of always competing with the guys all the time.
So you've had some good heat races this year. You had a fifth in Jackson, right?
Yep, I did.
So tell me, what were your goals coming into the year? With, I mean, you're Holly, 14?
Yep, 14.
So you're one of the younger girls in that pro
yep,
class.
Yep, I am.
And where did you want to be this year? What?
My goal in Duluth was to be up on the podium. Unfortunately, that didn't end up happening. But we're just going to push through the year and see how far I can go. So.
Okay. So are you happy with where you're at right now?
Yep, I am. I'm super happy for where I'm at.
Okay. So speaking of Duluth, I got to ask you about the helmet. What the heck happened there?
It was, I either didn't buckle up the helmet all the way or else the helmet itself was loose. But then I ended up hitting my head off the handlebars and it just came off. And it was my fault on that part. So
when the helmet broke, it was ran over.
It was ran over.
It wasn't an impact thing.
No, okay. It wasn't.
And you're strapping it up tight now?
Yep, I am. Got me a new helmet.
I saw that too. I don't know what happened. If you got stitches or
I ended up getting three stitches in my lip. So oof. Yeah.
I didn't know if you hit your chin and it broke and it popped off or what. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. But that was a crazy deal. Everybody was talking about that.
Yeah.
So yeah. Well, I'm glad you're okay and you're happy with your helmet company. You're sticking with them.
Yep, I am.
Okay. Things are going well. You said just the rest of the year, just keep riding out. I mean, obviously, get on the podium is the first goal, first mm-hmm. next step.
Yep.
Okay.
Just keeping in that top five, top three is where it's at, though. That's my goal for this year.
I got to admit, because of how some of our work and when we upload and do some editing, I don't always get to watch all the pro women's rounds, but is there anybody that you're finding yourself racing with, like the same person all the time, like on the track?
Are you
are you close with
Amelia Dahlgren? Yeah.
Okay.
Her. Yep.
So you guys are often together.
Yep. Me and her are always battling all the time, and so it's fun to battle a girl from Sweden. It's really fun. Okay. She's really fast, and so it's.
Cool. Well, hey, thanks for coming on.
Yep, thank you.
If you want to hand that over, we'll keep working our way down to the lower classes and get your brother here. I guess we got to let Levi go. He was late getting here, and he's going to be the first one to leave. So you got any questions for Gaden while you're here?
No, I mean, your season seems to be going pretty good. And
it's going good. I intentions this year, I've been hurt the past three years now, and first year in sport that I'm really confident, really going into it. I got a good team that's backing me, my clutching guy, mechanic. My clutching guy and both my mechanic, Nate, they're really good. I can't thank them enough. I had a third at Duluth, bunch of heat wins between Duluth and Jackson, and then I had a second in Jackson. So
is this your first year in sport then too?
No, I've been in sport for the past 3 years, but I've been hurt every year. So it's just one step back after another.
Haven't had a solid season.
Had a solid season, and hopefully this season's just going to come into it and ride smart. And I feel like this year I'm a lot more confident and a lot more in control. So
there's a lot of kids in that class too.
Yeah, a lot of tough, fast dudes. So it's always go, 100% for the races, and finals are always 100%. So.
Yeah, no, definitely stepping it up. I know you had that bigger, was it Sport Light win in Geneva at the end of last year?
Pro Light win.
That's right.
Yeah,
the showdown race.
Yeah, the showdown race.
Yeah,
you killed him there, didn't you?
Yeah, had a pretty good substantial lead. I think it was like 12 seconds by the end of the race. So then you
go through the summer all healthy and come in this year.
Yeah, I race ATV motocross all summer, and that was good. I won two championships in that Open B class, and then last race of the year I moved up to A. And
now, do you guys live here all year long, or do you guys live back out west?
We go out west back and forth, but I guess I race out here most of the time, and a lot of stuff to do out here compared to out there for racing our kind of lifestyle.
Sure,
I mountain bike and road bike a lot, so it's really pretty to get out there and do that, and then train at elevation, that helps a lot too. Yeah. So other than that, yeah. So.
Well, hey, Levi, if you've got to get out of here, why don't you hand that back over to Ryan, and we'll keep going here with Caden. But, hey, thanks for coming over, bud, and we'll get you on the show here again one of these days.
Absolutely. See you, Levi.
See you.
Nice to meet you all.
So Ryan, you've worked with Caden and Taven, who's talking about a couple of years here now. What are you seeing with their progression?
No, their drive and determination and work ethic's pretty good on the track. They like to always want to make gains and go basically just go ride their snowmobiles.
So you work full time in the summer, so you're not at the shop all summer, right?
No,
you're not part of the ATV program or
Nope. I'm a heavy equipment operator down in the cities and come on in mid to late October, and then
you check in with them once in a while in the summer.
Oh yeah, I'd stop into the motor track a couple times and keep up with them over the summer.
Okay,
make sure they're not eating too many donuts.
So, Caden, you're already on the podium this year. That had been pretty good at kind of the hometown race. What are your goals for the year? Where do you want to be week to week and at end of the year?
My goals this year is just stay consistent. I couldn't obviously really want to get that first one underneath my belt in sport, but I just want to stay consistent, top 3, 4, 5, right in there every weekend. Good one or two in the heats or good qualifying, and then So
who are you? Trent Wentworth's got a couple wins in that class. Jay Lure has been real fast. Who else are you battling with week to week?
Mitch Seelan, AJ Stoffel.
Yeah, AJ gets his first win out there, right?
Yeah, he's me and him, we've been racing since we were 10, 11 years old. So he's from
the Colorado kid, right? So I know you're not like exactly next door neighbors, but you guys raced a lot in the West.
Yeah, we raced a lot of races out west. He came and practiced at my home track right before the expo back, I think like 2011 or 12, something like that. And so me and him battle pretty good. It's always been pretty good battles between the both of us, and we're pretty good friends. So.
Yeah, no, he's a good kid. I was glad to see that that go down out there too. And especially, I mean, there's not a lot of you from the West, so for you guys to have success at that home race. What was the racing like before you've been on the national tour? Was it your third year? Fourth year?
Yeah, fourth year.
So growing up, what was your race scene like?
Honestly, it was just little hometown races in my parents. We still own a grocery store out in Island Park, Idaho, and we used to just build tracks out there, and we had probably 40 to 45 racers every week, every time that we'd have a race, and we'd have probably 2-3 races a year, and my dad, it was just all coming out of my dad's pocket, and so that's basically where my roots started from, was from right out west. And
so it wasn't like you were racing every other weekend.
It was a couple times. I used to have a RMK 600 long track that I used to just race and go out and have fun with that, and then I got bucked off my sled one day and at a race, and the EMT that was on call that day, he was sponsored by Arctic. He was a pro hill climber, and he sent in a resume for me to race director at Articat, Mike Colletti, and just my race career started off from there, and so, yeah.
So what's it like for you? You've had quite a few guys on the team since you've been back here and set up shop, but what's it like now? You know, you're here pretty much day-to-day and riding every day with Yuan and Nisi. What do you pick up from those guys?
Yeah, just they've got a good positive vibe, and I watch Yuan, look at his style, watch Nisa, Mike George, everybody. I look at them, and I know I want to be like them and be as fast as them one day. So
they're not teaching you any bad Swedish words or anything.
Oh, I don't know.
We heard Levi going off when he got here.
Maybe we'll pass on that one.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I'm starting to learn some Swedish, so hopefully one day I can go over there. And
they don't tell you words and then let you know afterwards what you're saying, right?
Yeah, they're I don't know. I'm still trying to learn that whole aspect. So
we're not going
to
go there? Okay.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, hey, good job last weekend, and looking forward to more, what you have going on this season, and thanks for coming on, and thanks for having us here. We didn't talk too much about the shop, but you guys moved in here, in the spring or mid-summer?
Yeah, I think they picked it up mid-summer, and then just slowly we had a couple guys come in and working at it over the summer, and then like second week in October there, we really started putting everything together, and it's turned out pretty good. It's a nice fit right here for us.
Yeah, it's a big shop, man. You've got like a little bit of a display or showroom here. You got some, must be some of Dad's cars, and we got an old ATC 200X. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, we went through that and got it ready for him last year.
my dad used to race one of those back in the day, and we went through it and repainted it and repowder coated and stuff, and surprised him with that. I think I was right around his birthday in the middle of the summer last year. So
yeah, that's pretty sweet. That's a Steve Wright special there. Yeah, and then so a big shop in the back. You can get the hauler in here. You said get the trailer in, the gate down.
Yep, it's nice. We can get the trailer in here on hook, and we got room to do whatever we got. And you know, the mobile parts room sits about 20 feet away from where we're working, so it's a nice setup.
Yep, and pallet racking in the back. You got, what, like 4 or 5 stations back there?
Oh, yeah, we could get a couple more if we needed to, but yeah, we got plenty of room for all the riders we have.
Yeah.
And I got my own little area I can go hide.
Yeah, I see you go hide things back behind everybody.
Yeah, yeah, it works out nice. Get away from all the craziness.
All of us hooligans.
Yeah. But no, a lot of space here, nice kitchen, workout center or weight room.
Yeah, they got everything they need, so there's no excuses. Yeah,
right?
Right now is the time to make gains. So like you said, I mean, Canterbury is the turning point. So
right, it's all got to
we'll
be.
See what we can do. We're going to go do some hard work next week and work with a couple sponsors on some things.
Yeah, we're end of the week here. ERX is busy with, they had snow bike going on, but you'll get back at it.
Yeah, we're actually gonna do a couple days up at Quad.
Oh, you're going up to Quad now.
Yeah, we're gonna go up to QMP and put in a couple solid days up there with Fox. He's gonna come over and do some stuff with us. And
are you driving the groomer?
Oh yeah, that's why we're going up there and make sure we get what we need and practice some starts. And just like I said, this is the time to put your head down and make some gains. And I expect just better things. And we're already sitting pretty well, so
yeah, oh,
it
good.
Should be good.
So we didn't talk too much about sponsor, but like Sunoco, you guys were real instrumental in bringing them in, the new fuel program. But you want to mention team sponsors before we get out of here?
Yeah, you know, I mean, but with the Sunoco deal coming,
you need me to hold up a pit board?
Forward, no, we'll be all right. Okay. That worked, you know, there was some mixed feelings with that, but I hope everybody's getting over, you know, getting through that stuff, and it seems to be working pretty well for everyone. So
yeah.
I don't think that should be a big deal. And, you know, with Fox is going to be doing some work with us, and Hayes Brakes stepped up this year and helping us out quite a bit. You know, a lot of other ones, V-Force is on board. I mean, CNA, we got, you know, FXR stepped up, like always. We got the Nitro Lubricants deal and General Formulations. I mean, Scott Goggles. We got just a lot of good, solid sponsors behind us. You know, and you mentioned the helmet deal, you know, 60, that's a quality helmet all the way around. So, no, it's a pretty solid program. We're just looking to build it in another couple of years and keep going and just get stronger.
All right, cool. Yeah, you definitely got some good things going on, and a lot's happening in the year since I think we got together like a year ago in the summer when you were first moving in at the old shop. But man, lots went down in 1 year.
Definitely a little different change around here.
Yeah. So, well, hey, again, thanks for having us over. Looking forward to a little holiday break. Hope you all have a good holiday, Christmas, New Year's, and sounds like everybody's going to be around. Nisa, you're staying here?
Yeah, I'm staying here.
Through Christmas? Okay.
Yep.
All right, cool. So, yeah, thanks again. And, hey, thanks, everybody, for listening, tuning in. A lot of new stuff going up pretty much every day on all of our outlets. RideX365.com is the website. We have a new digital issue coming out. It'll be posting sometime between Christmas and New Year's. Have lots of coverage from the first two races of the year, the first two rounds from ISOC. Some year-end off-road coverage, some news about our new off-road series. Kind of preview the cross country series, so take a look for that. A lot of cool things. I appreciate all the support. Like I say, everything we do, the content's free, so just if you would support our advertisers, sponsors, you know, this time of year everybody's buying Christmas presents, take a look on there and see if there's something they can help you out with. And we're gonna have I think we should have some coverage of the snow bike event today, the X Games qualifier, and we'll be back. I think we're gonna maybe take 1 week off for the holiday, but we'll have a pre-Canterbury show coming up too. So if you're listening for that, that'd be great, and we'll see you then.